Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code FITNESS.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Stadium BS is on now. I'm so sorry for the long wait. I know it's been a month, but I have a brand new episode. I'm going to consider this the ending of season one, ending on episode 13. Just to remind you, castlonms.com is pretty much your best way to get your shopping needs done. CastellonMS.com. I have multiple platforms selling different items all across the board for your holiday shopping needs. Also, my own merch in my own store. Check it out. It is awesome. CastellonMS.com has all my resources, has all my socials, has everything Frankie on it. This sponsor that I have up is Molly B's that is sponsoring this podcast. Check them out. MollyB's.com. Molly B's has an offer for your holiday needs as well. 10% off every item there is, no problem, by entering the code STADIUMBS. That's 10% off any item on the site at MollyB's.com. Check them out. They are delicious. I love them. My daughter loves it. They are just rich in goodness. I love them. Molly B's Gourmet Cookies bring creative, unique cookies straight to your pantry. No cookie shop required, with bold and unforgettable flavors. They're the ultimate treat for any occasion. Check them out. 10% off any item, MollyB's.com, our sponsor for today. Without further ado, I am going to interview Kelly from the Minor League Nerd YouTube channel and podcast. Enjoy.
All right. Shows me it's recording here.
Awesome. www.castlonms.com. You get plenty of merch, over 120 plus items from what I'm reselling to my own branded stuff. Everything here you see is Frankie, and I have a special guest with me. He is known as the Minor League Nerd. Kelly, how are you today? Can you hear me?
You froze there for a second as you were saying the Minor League Nerd.
That's okay. No worries. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing all right. We just finished an interview, which I would highly suggest to take a listen to on any podcast that you're on. He is known as the Minor League Nerd. He has some very great insight of history of a lot of minor league teams that are rooted from the early 1900s. Around that range, is that correct?
Yep. Yep. Basically, so we focus mostly anything up to 1990. Mm-hmm. We'll do stuff after the 90s. We've covered some teams or at least history that goes that far, but we tend to try and stick to pre-1990.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
So,
is there a reason behind it?
Just because it was just kind of like an arbitrary I just kind of picked, because when I first started, I didn't really, was just like, whatever, I'll just do whatever. And then my favorite era is.
You still there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what happened.
Yeah. So my favorite era is from like the 1940s into the 1950s.
Okay.
Before, and then even into the early 60s before the first big change, or sorry, not the first, it's actually like the third big change, but when it basically minor league baseball was reorganized to what we know it as today with the triple A, double A, high A, low A, and then formerly rookie. So yeah, it was just kind of like got a cutoff somewhere. So I decided in 1990. In a few years, maybe it'll go up to 2000.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I've learned a lot. I don't know if you followed me or I followed you. I don't know how we crossed paths in Instagram, because that's my main poison. I don't know if that's your poison. But I started listening to a couple of episodes that really intrigued me. One was Baseball and Anderson. Now, if you have been following on my podcast and my channel, I live in Greenville, South Carolina. So Anderson, South Carolina is a hop, skip, and a jump. So I was curious. I do a lot of homework about where I live,
right?
Baseball-wise. That's my thing. And he gave a lot of insight about what teams played in Anderson, South Carolina.
And it was a lot.
It was a lot. And the two things that intrigued me on that podcast was, and go take a look at it. It's pretty interesting. It's a series on it. I have it on my site, castleonms.com. Was one that the Mets played there. They had their minor league there in the 70s. And the other one was a short-lived independent team known as the Anderson Joes.
Yes.
Now, here's one thing I wanted to give you a tip on. The Anderson Joes, they were not the first organization to try to name them the Joes. Believe it or not, before it became the Greenville Drive, the high affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, they were intentionally trying to name them the Joes.
Right. Yeah. I had heard that before. Yes.
Yes. Yes. That is a true fact. And the reason why they did not aim for that is because he was banned from baseball at the time. Not anymore. Yeah. We found this out this past year.
Yeah. Major League Baseball would not have allowed that.
Correct. So I'm pushing for the Drive to change the name to the Joes. That would be awesome. There's a bunch of redevelopment in the area. And one of the, I don't know how long has it been for you to come to Greenville, but they actually now have a huge high-rise, call it like apartment condo complex. And guess what it's called? Right across from Floorfield. You know what they called it? 408 Jackson. 408 Jackson.
Yeah.
And it's right across. And they moved over the Shoeless Joe Jackson Museum to a corner. And that's apparently going to be the final resting place of where the house is going to be. So it was originally directly across, and they moved it over to a corner and have like this big arch that says District 356, which is another homage to Shoeless Joe Jackson. So I really want to push that.
Yeah, I actually have a business card from, or you know, a replica of his business card from when he owned the liquor store.
Wow.
I think it was at the museum they had them.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code FITNESS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, ka'chava.com, code FITNESS.
We visited Greenville in 2016. Mm-hmm. And so we did the ball field where he played. We played as when he was in.
I don't know why it's freezing.
And went to the museum. Mm-hmm. But it was pretty cool.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, they're now open Saturdays only. And they've been declared one of the best baseball museums in this country. I was like, really?
Really?
That's wow. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, so it was a great museum, that's for sure.
Oh, it's amazing. I want to go there, but problem is it's on a Saturday.
And yeah.
I'm a factory worker, so I work weekends. So can't do that.
Definitely makes it hard.
It does. My podcast is dedicated to the mishaps and sort of gripes within Major League Baseball. Part of it is how they restructured the minor league system back in 2020,
I would like to point out, because a lot of people seem to have forgotten this.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Houston Astros to blame for it.
Why is that?
It was actually called the Houston Plan. That's what the name of was when it was being talked about secretly amongst baseball executives, because the Houston Astros decided they only needed 4 minor league teams. They didn't need to have lower teams. They could just do it with the 4, AAA, AA, High A, and Low A. And I'm sure they're going to try and cut off Low A at some point. And the thing is, you didn't need to have rookie and short season league teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was also they were also unhappy because their AAA affiliation was so far away. I forgot where it was at the time, but they wanted a AAA team outside of Houston. And mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't going to work with the Sugarland Skeeters there.
Yeah.
So they also wanted to worthy enough to come in. They came up with the plan when it was first originally formulated by Major League Baseball executives, it was called the Houston Plan. And I know a lot of people want to hate the Astros for 2017, but me personally, mm-hmm. this is more of a reason to dislike the Houston Astros.
And here's the funny part. I love the Asheville Tourists, and yeah. I went to their stadium, McCormick Field, when they're affiliated with the Rockies. I have not gone once to one game when they became affiliated with the Houston Astros. Right. That was a matter of convenience, because I'm not a person that likes driving. I've driven to Atlanta, to Charlotte, to Asheville, to parts of Tennessee and Smoky Mountains, and I just don't like driving. Yeah. And that's why I like close by teams.
I like to say the 5 things that have affected minor league baseball the most, like mm-hmm. in a negative way. World War I, because mm-hmm. a lot of leagues shut down in either in the middle of the 1917 season or after the 1917 season. The Great Depression, which, I mean, teams just all across the country just dropped. 2 or 3 would be World War II. Mm-hmm. We went from 50 some odd leagues to 12 at its lowest during World War II. The growth of television, because mm-hmm. television pretty much almost destroyed minor league baseball entirely. Mm-hmm. And the fifth thing is Rob Manfred and the Houston Astros.
Oh, I have plenty to say about Rob Manfred.
Yeah, yes, we all do.
Yeah, so basically that's the reason why I started the podcast was for two reasons. One is the race saga that has been imminent. It's funny because it started for me back in 2019 to ranting about the whole split season plan for Tampa, Montreal, which I was laughing. It was hilarious. And one of the things I pointed out was marketing. And there's a reason why I'm pointing this out. Marketing. They didn't market their team. And I got one.
And you would know.
Yeah, exactly. I would know. And one other person by the name of JP Peterson, who is a very he's a big fish when it comes to broadcasting over there. Right. And he has his own podcast. He works for the Tampa Bay Lightning now. And he said the exact same thing. And I ranted. I was like, I said this 5 years prior to this. And it just drove me nuts. So I knew where Stu Sternberg was going with this. And the other one, which made me so sick to my stomach, was Oakland.
Yeah.
That broke my heart. And I really didn't care too much about Oakland. And what got me like stuck into doing this, to going on YouTube and speaking my piece, was a broadcaster by the name of Brody Brazil. I saw it on my YouTube.
I recently came across him.
Oh yeah, I've talked to him before. He's a nice guy. And his YouTube videos are remarkable. Go check him out. He does a lot of stadium news. I more go with I'm pissed off about this. Here's why. Or I like this. This is the reason why. So I go on that tangent. But he was on camera. He was working for NBC California. And when they made the announcement to relocate to Las Vegas, he just started bawling. Like right then and there. He did not hold back.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically said, like, our kids are not going to go to an Oakland A's game. They're not going to wear an Oakland A's. When he said that, I was like, that right there showed me that what we had as kids are soon going to be dwindling away. Now, major league wise, I think that. Minor league wise, I don't. Of how they're marketing their teams is amazing, in my opinion. So my question to you is, what is your take on minor league baseball today? And do you see this as a plus or a minus?
So I have very mixed feelings on, so the to me, if what they're saying is true, mm-hmm. then it could be good. But I don't trust Diamond Baseball Holdings.
Why is that?
Because they own 40 teams in minor league baseball.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It used to be you were only allowed to own one team per league. There were teams that would, you know, people who would buy a league and they'd have to sell the other one, or like in the case of the New York Penn League back in the 70s, guy who owned one team and they needed a quick expansion team, so he created the co-pilot, or sorry, not the I forget what team it was. I think it was the Newark Orioles. He took over and created the Newark Orioles. So he put that team in his wife's name and held the other team. So technically he did own the two teams, but they were separate under two different names. Wow. If what Diamond Baseball Holdings says is...
Oh boy, you're breaking up again. Oh. I don't understand why it's doing that. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? Okay,
yeah. If now you've broken up.
Oh boy.
Okay, there we go. All right. So yeah, if Diamond Baseball, if what they're saying is true and they are actually wanting to make it better, and I know in some places, most places, they're not really changing anything, but I have heard from some people, but they've not given me any particulars, that they're actually not doing, they're actually like messing things up at some teams and changing things around for the worse. But like I said, I've not been given specifics. I just had someone comment on a video about their ownership of one particular team and said that, yeah, that it's not good. And I asked him, hey, can you reach out and tell me what? And he hasn't. That's the only negative thing. Like only thing I've heard that like specific someone was saying is bad. Cause everything else they're saying is like, we're coming in, we're not changing anything. We're leaving the same people in charge. And it's, I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but, my friend Paul Caputo from Baseball by Design said many years ago when the change came is that he was kind of a belief that one of the reasons Major League Baseball wanted to take over the minor leagues is because they saw how successful they were being with the marketing, with the merchandise, with the sales, and they wanted a cut.
Yep.
So instead of like trying to work out some deal, they just decided, well, we'll just take the whole thing over and bring it under our umbrella. Mm-hmm. Which I personally, I don't like. I would liked it being independent. I liked the leagues having their own president, having their own rules, their own set.
I broke up again. I don't know what's wrong with this. Driving me crazy.
There's just so many things that are good. Like the teams themselves are doing a great job. It's just having this overlord over them, I don't feel is good for the sport.
Well, one of the things that has been drawn, and I'm an avid follower of the Sports Business Journal, and one of the things that is pushing sports now is private equity. And that's what Diamond Baseball Holdings is, a private equity firm.
Yep.
And what the main purpose, you know, Business 101, what does a private equity firm do? They basically try to maximize their profit by doing the most minimal.
Yeah.
And take advantage of it. So that's, and they'll find any type of cuts known to man. If this is too much for the budget, this is not really not needed. Buy.
Yeah.
Not this one. Oh, okay. That's way too much. Buy, you know, things like that. And that's where we're at right now. And that's going to be growing left and right.
Yep.
Yeah, but also, go ahead.
I just one of the things that still makes me laugh is I found it funny is, you know, they're one of the things we're going to cut down travel costs. That, you know,
yeah,
the
leagues, that was a big one.
The leagues are too far spread out. It's okay. Well, then why is the team in Brooklyn and Hudson Valley, New York, in the South Atlantic League?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember MLB back in 20, if I remember if it was end of 2020 or beginning of 2021, someone saying, oh, well, you know, a lot of these teams, they travel by school bus from city to city. And it's like, actually, no, there's only two leagues that traveled by school bus, the Gulf Coast League in Florida and
The Arizona Fall League?
Not the Fall League, the Arizona League, the Rookie League.
Okay, I
got those it. Are the only two that traveled by bus, and both of those are directly run by Major League Baseball.
Wow.
All the other, at the time, 13 leagues, none of them traveled by school bus. And then the thing is, you know, all travel costs is too big. Then they started last year and expanding it this year, interleague play at the AAA level, which, you know, don't really necessarily have a problem with it. But having a team from Charlotte go all the way to Round Rock, Texas to play, or Toledo coming down to Round Rock to play, how is that saving travel costs? Yeah. I mean, I understand. I know people are getting bored, and that's the other big thing is the 6-game series, which like one, as someone who travels a lot for baseball, that makes it really difficult to plan a road trip, especially when they're all off on Monday. But the thing I had always wondered, and I've heard from friends, like where team, you know, that you see basically the same teams for 6 straight games at like the Texas League. I know fans of a Texas League team who are like, they're bored of seeing the same teams over and over and over again.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And so like, yeah, the 6 game series, I don't like, in some, you know, I can understand it, but I think that's going to be something that's going to I know it's something that's already starting to affect people, where people are like not going to certain particular games. It's like, you know, oh, Corpus Christi's in town again. Well, we just saw them like, you know, last month for 6 games. I really don't want to see them play again.
I understand. That's when you were mentioning Diamond Baseball Holdings, one of the first things that came to mind, because you said that, you know, at one time for it, that you were only allowed to own one team. And there was one person that I thought of that owns 2 teams. Take a wild guess who that is.
It was one team per league.
Ah, okay. Never mind.
So yeah, you could own a team. You could own a team in all 13 leagues at the time, but they had to be in separate leagues. You couldn't be in the same league.
You know who I was thinking of? Ken Babby.
Yeah.
If guys that are not that don't know who he is now the CEO and investor of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's pretty much going to be your David Sampson, your face of the front office, and he owns both the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and the Akron Rubber Ducks. So when you mentioned that, I was like, I thought of him, and my take is with him, I know for a fact come 2030, he's gonna have those teams affiliated. That's just my guess. But
yeah,
who knows? I'm trying to think of another question.
Yeah, really not looking forward to 2030, because I'm really nervous that they're going to try and cut low A ball and get it down to just 3 levels.
Well,
or actually just call it now single A ball.
Yeah. The
thing is though, that gives me hope is now that minor league players are unionized. So they can't go and just cut a whole level like they've done in the past. Cause that's going to destroy a whole bunch of jobs.
Well, let's see how the collective bargaining agreement happens.
But that's with the major league, so they'd have to do a separate minor league, because they're different. They're different union. They're not the same union. They're different unions. There's the minor league union and the major league union.
Really, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that's something.
I think they might be represented by the same people, but I don't believe that they're not all, because it's the major.
Come on now. Stop breaking up. Sorry. Can you hear me now? Sorry about that.
Yep, you're good.
Okay, so I'm sorry. I probably didn't hear that last statement about that, about the minor league union.
It's the Major League Baseball Players Association, and then the Minor League Players Association is a separate one. So they have a different contract with management.
What's your take on independent baseball now?
Now?
A lot of the teams that left minor league baseball are now independent league teams.
Yeah. Or collegiate summer league. So it's funny. When I first got into minor league baseball in 2004, And I was into the Northern League, which was represented here in the Chicago area. And I liked the Northern League. We had several teams I would go visit, but then the Northern League ended up several teams left the Northern League and formed the American Association. And I didn't know the background, what was going on or anything. They went and formed that. And so like that upset me. And then the Northern League ended up completely going away. And I was like, you know what? I don't like independent baseball just because it's not as stable.
Like, that's true.
The minor leagues are stable because until Major League Baseball took over, it's like, you know, the teams, you know, it's going to be the same teams are going to be represented. They might move to a different city, but it's stable. And back then in 2017, I got back into indie ball and started going more. And actually the team I see the most now is an indie ball team. It's the Chicago Dogs of the American Association.
Oh yeah. I've heard about them. I love their marketing. They're fun.
Yeah. They are. Absolutely fun. It's great. It's like,
oh, this is driving me nuts. Come on now.
Yes, you good?
I wish my Zoom was working.
Yeah.
Google Meets, do better.
But I was saying, I can have a terrible day and go to Impact Field, and as soon as I walk in, feels great. And things, I live in Chicago, and one thing about Chicagoans is we don't really like the suburbs for the most part. Mm-hmm. And they're in Rosemont, which is a suburb, but Rosemont's a weird suburb because I think you can fit every person who lives in Rosemont into Impact Field and there would still be seats available because that's how small Rosemont is. Basically there's more hotel rooms in Rosemont than there are people. It exists because of O'Hare Field. So it's hotels and restaurants and businesses and shops. And it's like, it's tiny population. Love going there, going to Schaumburg Boomers. I was upset and still upset that the Kane County Cougars got cut, but yeah, they're actually probably doing better as an independent than they were doing as an affiliated team. Since they've joined the American Association, they've led the league in attendance, with the Chicago Dogs usually being second. I like indie ball, but there's always that concern of like the American Association is being smart. They're not rapidly expanding. The Frontier League is kind of starting to stretch out a little too far.
Same with the Pioneer,
where they have teams. Yeah, and the Pioneer too. It's like the Pioneer, I think, is actually it's now shifting west.
Yes, and we already know the reason why. The Oakland Ballers.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone wants the success of the Bananas. Now everyone wants the success.
This is the success of the Ballers because they're underdogs.
Yeah. And Colorado just lost all their minor league teams. They had three indie teams. Now they have none, which is really upsetting.
I completely agree.
I mean, it's really upsetting losing the Rocky Mountain vibe, especially considering that their history goes all the way back to 1978.
Wow.
It's a great brand, and like the ownership that the team did well, they drew well, but there's nobody around them, and it's not feasible for them. To when what their closest team is in Salt, just north of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one. I mean, there's always just the concern of minor league baseball, indie ball, of just, you know, the instability and teams just coming and going. And yeah, the Pioneer League, I don't think is on the verge of like going away.
No, it's not.
It's just going to drastically change. I think it's footprint.
I agree. Yep.
And it's like, I like the Frontier League, but I mean, it's just too far. some of the teams. I mean, the Mississippi Mud Monsters are in the same division as the Schaumburg Boomers, the Joliet Slammers, and I'm forgetting their name, the team in the St. Louis area, the Gateway Grizzlies. I mean, not the Grizzlies. Yeah, I forget who. I'm blanking on it right now.
That's okay.
But it's just kind of insane that, you know, they're nowhere near their division.
Oh my god. Which
we were afraid that they were going to go to a 6-game series as well. Thankfully, they have not, and hopefully they stay that way.
I hate to be a pessimist, but, and I've always said this on my YouTube channel, I said baseball's dying. And some parts I agree with, some parts I don't. And we're in an age that the attention span mm-hmm. is shortened.
Yes.
We're now riding on TikTok 90-second clips to 3 minutes to summarize a baseball game. And it's just getting the attention of the young.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at ka'chava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's ka'chava, ka'chava.com, code NEWS.
Good generation. I don't expect my kids to be baseball fans. They like what I like, but I'm not expecting them to be like diehards.
Right.
I'm like, if they like, I'll introduce it to them, and you make the decision of what you want to do. And I'll firmly support that. I got one. My 17-year-old is in depth. She wants to be a United States Marine. So she's like gung-ho on that. And my 5-year-old, who's soon to be 6, is just likes Gabby's Dollhouse. That's it.
Right.
So
I think another problem for baseball, and I see this while attending at major league games, mm-hmm. is I see a lot of mostly younger, like 20-year-olds, who they only follow it for gambling. Because I go to major league games and there'll be a group of like 4 or 5 guys, late teens, early 20s, and all they're talking about is their bets. They're not talking about what's going on the field. They're not talking about how a player is doing. They're talking about how it affects their bets.
And that's not going away anytime soon.
I think no. And then we get shocked. When find out that ball players are connected to gamblers and are intentionally throwing bad pitches to make money for themselves, which, I mean, you're making how much a year and you're doing a.
Yep. Now we're getting that.
I know it's not just about the money. It's about the thrill and the excitement. And then we're surprised that this is happening. It's like, I personally don't gamble, and you know, if people gamble, that's fine. It's not my thing, but you can't be surprised when you're snuggling up so closely to sports betting and then this happens. And then it's happening in basketball too. And
it's a huge controversy right now in basketball. Yeah.
And then are we going to start hearing it in other sports? I mean, there's been issues in soccer as well. So.
Don't be surprised. And this is one of the things I called on the Las Vegas ballpark that the A's are going to be playing in.
Yeah.
I just dread looking at it. And my first initial thought is once the stadium built, they're going to get naming rights. And I'm going to bet, and I'm not a bet man, but I will bet money on this. DraftKings or FanDuel will jump on it.
So funny thing in the late 80s is, so I one of our more recent episodes was the history of basically, well, now what's AAA baseball of a championship game for that level. You know, the level name changed over the century, but basically breaks down it's what is AAA baseball. Mm-hmm. And in the late 80s, very late 80s, they did a series between with the teams, and it was held in Louisville, because mm-hmm. the Louisville team at the time, who was brand new, drew over 1 million fans their first season mm-hmm. when they moved to Louisville. And so it's like, oh, Louisville's hotbed, let's go there. And it didn't draw well. And that's mainly because minor league playoffs. I mean, I love playoffs, and I wish the playoffs would go back to the way they were in the affiliated minors, yeah. But it doesn't draw well. I mean, in 2015, the Kane County Cougars had an Kane County Cougars had an amazing season, drew insane numbers, and nobody showed up in the playoffs. And it's just because school's in, and you know, they got other things going on. Kids have after school activities and whatnot. But so there was talk of moving I think it was 1990, moving the AAA championship to Las Vegas. But the head of minor league baseball at the time didn't want it, or the commissioner, actually, sorry, Commissioner Bowie Kuhn. And actually, this was the early 80s. Commissioner Bowie Kuhn did not want to move to Vegas because he didn't want it to be around gambling. And now look at it. So they ended up canceling it in the mid 80s, just didn't have it anymore because they couldn't decide on a location. So, you know, just cancel it. And now we've got, yeah, now there's sports books inside major league stadiums.
Yep. And I'm going to add one more thing to it. We just found this out this week. Steve Cohen got his license, his casino yep. license for his $8 billion project next to Citi Field.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. And it's kind of funny because my wife and I, we just finished watching Only Murders in the Building. And mm-hmm. one of the angles in the last season was about a casino opening in New York City.
And now there's going to be three.
And then a few days later, it's like, I see Steve Cohen getting his casino.
Yep. It's they're trying to find any way to make money. And this is why private equity is going to be a common ground. And the Sports Business Journal, I follow it religiously, and it's saying that Abe Madcore, who's the head guy, he says all the time that private equity is going to be the main thing that's going to control sports.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
In a good way or a bad way, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's all about maximizing your profits by doing the most minimal, which I agree from a business standpoint, but you're loyalist, which I'm not going to even consider myself a loyalist. Not anymore. I'd rather just enjoy my interests, enjoy it, but I'm not going to give, let's just put it this way. I'm not going to give my life savings to season tickets.
Right.
Because
I was a White Sox season ticket holder starting in 2003, and it was like a 9-game plan up to like a 12-game plan to a third of a season plan to a full season.
Mm-hmm.
So I had full season tickets from like 2007 to 2021. And then I had like a mini plan, and then went to a voucher plan to now I don't even have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many, many, many reasons why I don't do it anymore. Yeah. But the direction that MLB leadership is going and is part of it is Jerry Reinsdorf, which thankfully Thankfully, we now have a light at the end of the tunnel and we have new ownership lined up. I just wish it wasn't 4 years away. But unfortunately, the other big thing is, and it's something that I can't blame on anyone but other people, is that there's just people just don't have respect and are vaping in baseball stadiums. My wife has asthma. And in 2021, she went to 14 games with me. I used to go to 35.
35 games.
And then, yeah, I used to go to 35 to 40 White Sox games a year. And now I go to maybe 9 or 10. But it's like the in 2021, she went to 14 games and had an asthma attack at 12. And the funny thing is, one of them was by a guy who's a nurse who's vaping inside a stadium. It was on nurse's night, but he was a doctor training to be a doctor, and he's vaping inside a ballpark. Gave my wife an asthma attack. Did not check on her to see how she's doing.
Right.
You know who did check on her?
Who?
The three nurses sitting around us all came. came over. I went to get her some water. The nurses all came to check on her, make sure she's okay. The doctor and his three training doctor friends got up and left, didn't apologize, didn't check on her. So because once again, proving nurses are the good people and doctors really aren't. Sorry if you're a doctor. Well, I don't want to be to anyone who's a doctor, but.
Yeah, I'm like, trust me, my wife works as a medical interpreter, and you can tell the judgment by the character, by the doctor, and who is nice and who just thinks they're a know-it-all. And trust me, we've encountered plenty of those, so I completely understand.
Yeah, but and yeah, it's just become, it's now it's everywhere. It's like, I mean, you used to only be at White Sox games, and now we go to other major league games, and it happens once or twice. She hasn't had an asthma attack. It's happened at Chicago Dogs games, like people sitting right behind us. It's happened indoors at hockey games, people vaping right by her, causing her to have an asthma attack. And then it gets to me because it's always the same response, which is, oh, sorry, I didn't know. Like, that's why it's illegal to do it, because you don't.
Correct.
Bothers me too, but it doesn't cause me to go in and have a asthma attack to have to go seek medical attention.
I can't stand smoke, period.
Yeah. Period. I mean, cigarette smoke too, cigar smoke, marijuana smoke, all that bothers her. It's bad. Cause like, and she's actually found out actually with vaping, it's some of the garbage that's in it, she's allergic to nickel, and there's nickel in that stuff.
Yeah,
people are actually inhaling nickel, and so she's actually having an allergic reaction to an element that's in there.
Unbelievable.
So yeah, I don't want to keep going on, but we've actually stopped going to concerts. You know, we used to go to dozens of concerts a year, and having an asthma attack at the last four concerts we went to, and small club concerts. It's like, it's not worth it anymore. It's not worth it.
No, it's not. I'll be honest with you. No, it's not. Well, this has been an absolute pleasure. This is a wonderful interview. Please go check out the Minor League Nerd. Give your plug.
So it started off as a YouTube channel, and then I thought about doing it as a podcast as well, but I'm like, everyone has a podcast. I wanted to do a YouTube channel, and then just finding out that there's lots of people who don't have time to sit down and watch YouTube videos. So, I started it in March of 2023, October of 2023, expanded it to podcast. So it's basically their episodes covering we usually pick a team. Or maybe a city, and it's just basically telling the history, the story behind that team, and just their history. Sometimes it's from beginning to end. Sometimes it's just a little portion. The We still do the YouTube videos. We do a podcast version of it, which is basically the exact same thing, just without the images.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently on hiatus for the off season. Mm-hmm. It used to be nonstop, but it kind of got to be, it was too much. It was too taxing.
And yes, I was starting
to get worn out because I pretty much do everything my own. I do the research, the writing, the editing. My wife does one. We have different series. She does mm-hmm. one series, but then I still do all the work behind it.
Yeah.
She has a theater background, so I figured she'd enjoy being part of it, which she does. But yeah, we're going to start back up. Originally, the plan was to start back up in April, but we're actually going to have a couple episodes in March. But what we're doing right now is a series doing it every other week called My Favorite Baseball Memory.
Right.
Where we talk with different guests. Someone who might be interviewing me right now is going to be an upcoming guest.
Yes. I wonder who it is.
I don't know.
Tune in.
But yeah, just let people, it's just basically for people to talk about their favorite baseball memories. So, we're starting back up in March and then full steam ahead in April through to the rest of the season. But if you like listening to someone ramble on about baseball history and stories, it's your thing.
I'm a big fan of it, so you got a friend out of that. And one of the things I will love to put suggestions of, one, you need to do one in Greenville, Spartanburg. I thought about this throughout the week when we were emailing each other. I wanted to send you guys a package. I have a book. Let me find that book real quick. Hold on. Sorry about that. I've been started downsizing everything because I have my memories, but I don't want the stuff involved in it. And you'll notice that on my website, I have a lot of stuff for resale, negotiate price. I'll be more than happy to give it to you, but I wanted to give you something. You could pass it around to, what was the one that does the baseball by design?
Paul Caputo.
He still collects, ice cream helmets.
Oh yes.
Okay. So I wanted to share this book. Is known as Baseball in Greenville and Spartanburg.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty much a lovely picture book involving the history of baseball in general. I read it.
Is that Arcadia Press?
Yes, Arcadia Publishing.
Yeah, they're pretty good. We have a few of their books.
So I read it through. My wife got it for me a while back, but I would love for you to do a minor league history of this.
We did an episode on the Spartanburg Phillies.
I remember that one. Yes. So what I was suggesting, like that region, and it's very interesting of all the teams that came into it. I loved it wholeheartedly, and I wanted the mention your buddy Donnie now that I think about it, because I listened to My Favorite Baseball Memory with Donnie.
And he lives outside of Columbia.
Yeah, Columbia. And when I heard him ranting about the Bombers moving to Greenville, I felt for him. I really did feel for him. And Donnie, if you want to hang out, go to a Fireflies or Greenville Drive, feel free. I'm a hop, skip, and a jump. So let me know.
He's got tickets, and he's always looking for people to join him.
Shoot, sign me up. So one of the things I've learned about that move, and it's all on my site. It's like in an essay. I reference and I cite sources.
Right.
And my goal is with that site, it's a link tree. I'm going to put as many references as I can, and I'm going to see if I could meet the record of longest links in Linktree. It's a long go because they're actually, if you Google search it, there is a longest link tree in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like endless. So I'm competing for that goal.
I don't list my sources on the podcast, but they're listed on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I actually, for the first time ever, my episode on the history of baseball in Zanesville, Ohio, I actually could not list all my sources because I ran out of space. I actually had to cut sources because I used so many newspaper articles.
Right.
That like I put it in and then it like showed like what? I'm like, oh crap, I gotta, okay. So it does not have every source listed, which as a creator and as somewhat of a historian, it bothers me that it's not all listed there.
But here's the thing, you are a credible source and you don't suffer from it. And this is what I've learned from fellow podcasters, and I didn't know this was a thing. I didn't know there was a thing called imposter syndrome in podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
And when one of my fellow podcasters actually listened to my podcast, it was like, everything you're saying is genuine. And that's why I think of you as well. You're genuine on what you're saying.
Well, I appreciate that.
I could, you know, go back and be like, wow, this is true. You know, and that's not something you see every day. So that's something you should be proud of. Absolutely.
I always get this joy when it's like, okay, I don't want to go off one from the other, but let me finish this first. So
that's fine.
For me, there's always the, like, you know, you read something and then mm-hmm. when you like find a newspaper article that like backs it up, it's like, all right, cool. That I always feel good about that. It's like, you know, oh, this thing that I read on the internet is actually true, but there have been many instances where stuff that is listed as, you know, on Baseball Reference, Wikipedia, Sports Crew, which are like main sources I use, mm-hmm. that's wrong. Like just wrong information. Like the one I'll just always talk about is the Paris Parisians who played in the Kitty League in the 1920s, early 1920s. Everywhere you go, it says they played in Paris, Tennessee. And so when I started doing research on them, I'm searching newspapers in Tennessee, looking for information on the Paris Parisians. They didn't play in Tennessee. They played in Paris, Indiana. But everywhere you go says it was Paris, Tennessee. And that's not like the only instance. Like there's others, you know, teams, they'll have the wrong name. Like when my Zanesville episode, it lists that they were the Zanesville Grays for so many years, but when they were affiliated with the Boston Braves, who are actually the Boston Bees, they were the Zanesville Bees for one wow. year. So it's just a little stuff. And it's like seeing it. So it's like, I'm curious, like, where did that start? Because obviously, like, you know, I assume whoever does the Wikipedia article takes it from Baseball Reference. Where did Baseball Reference get it wrong? And there's actually been some Sabre articles that I've used. They're older articles. Mm-hmm. So like from the 70s, and it's like coming, finding out, and it's like, oh, Sabre, but I don't feel confident enough to like step up and say, this article has wrong information. Here's the right information.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's like, I mean, when I first started, I did have feeling of imposter syndrome.
Really?
And and it's kind of gone away as I've gotten more confident. And it's like, you listen, you know, you go back to, and it's like anyone who creates, like you go back to like the old episodes. It's like, oh my God, that's so bad. Ugh, it's like, it's so terrible. And
yep.
My delivery isn't great, but it gets better. And over time you get more confident and then you find your groove and you start to understand, oh wait, this is the way it works, and this is the way it works for me.
Completely agree.
No, I still on occasion get that feeling, but it's not like it was, because I've actually had people comment on episodes about something, but like not actually watch the video, like ask a question in the comments. And it's like, you know, I don't want to be a jerk, but it's like, if you watch the video, the answer to your question would be there.
Well, I got the point that I used to be very people pleasing, and how I progress through my YouTube channel and my podcast is I just don't care. I'm going to be me, and I'm going to stick to being me, because guess what? If you don't like it, move on. But if you like it, share with your friends. It got to that point, and it's like, I'm interested in it. You don't have to be.
Right.
Now, would that depend on my views and all that? Yeah, but you know what? I'd rather be genuine, and then years down the line, to look at it and be like, you know what? He was right. And that's how I feel about that.
Yeah. They're actually, one of the first series I did was called Throwback Thursday, where I would take an old cap in my collection and then talk about that team. I stopped doing that that series, but like through more and more research, finding out that actually there's some stuff that I've said and some that was actually wrong, and it's wrong because the source I used was wrong. And I've actually been going back redoing those episodes to make it to update the information. And so I did 20 of those, and I think I've redone 13 of them.
Okay.
To update. They're usually updated and expanded and just better, overall better.
But the attention to detail is what makes your channel unique.
Yeah.
And that's what I applaud of it. And like I said, that's why I think you would appreciate this book better than I would, but I really love the book. And it's a timeline all the way up to like 2003. This was before The Drive came along. Oh,
nice.
So I will gladly send this to you. And I also want to send Mr. Caputo some ice cream helmets I had for years. I have 4 Asheville Tourists ice cream hats. And I have a Braves, a Mets, Braves, Yankees, and Rockies.
Yeah, great. Well. I can tell you, he's not going to want the Braves. He's a Phillies fan, so. I can tell you specifically, he's not going to want to do that. He actually went to a Braves game this past season, and he wanted their new ballpark to be number 30 that he hits, but it tied into the trip he was on. So.
Gotcha.
As he said last night, he wanted to make the last one out of spite, which I can appreciate.
Well, he's a better person than I am, because I haven't even stepped foot in Truist Park. I haven't been to a major league game in 10 years, and for good reason. I'm not going to pay those high prices.
I went to 2 Cubs games. One, I don't remember the exact year. It was like 83 or 84. Mm-hmm. And then as part of a class field trip in 1987, I did not go to another Cubs game until 2023.
Wow.
And I had offers, but early on it was the, no, F the Cubs. They're not, I'm a White Sox fan. And then it got to, I want to see how long I can go.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so in 2023, in 1 month, my wife and I, we went to a White Sox game, we went to a Brewers game, went to an Angels, a Dodgers, and a Padres game.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be going in a few months after that, we're going to go to Kansas City. She's like, let's see if we can do another one. We can go to a Cubs game. And my whole thing is I didn't want to give the Ricketts any money. So we have friends.
Understandably why.
Yeah. We have friends who have season tickets, and they weren't able to go, so they end up giving us the tickets. And then I stopped at a Vietnamese restaurant up the street from Wrigley Field and bought some banh mi sandwiches, which you can bring your own food in, brought in. Mm. We didn't spend any money.
Good.
And that was my thing. It's like I don't want the Ricketts to have my money.
No, understandably so. And you accomplished that.
Yeah.
Me as a Yankees fan, I could care less about the rivalry, and the reason why I'm like, I know you in with your wife that She dated a Boston Red Sox fan, and refused to go to the Yankees game in spring training.
And refused to go to the Hall of Fame because it was too close to Yankee Stadium.
Oh, give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. See, I'm not one of those. I have respect for the game, and I could care less. I'm like, I'm in Greenville. I go to the Drive games. And that's an affiliate with the Red Sox. You know what? I want to enjoy it because it's the game of baseball and the story. That's it. And the story. Yeah. And people will give me crap for that, but that's okay, you know. Yeah. And I feel like that I'll be one of those people that, you know, that defends it, but also if you're doing something wrong, like if you're with my 5-year-old, I'll be like, no, you're not supposed to do that. Stop that. I'll say that to Major League Baseball.
Right.
And that's what I do. And I will point out every flaw of Major League Baseball and what they're doing that is incorrect, that you're pushing away for more profits. And I will be starting a season 2 probably in January. I have some ideas along the lines, but I haven't done a Stadium BS episode in a month. And I usually do it every week. And the reason why is I'm out of ideas.
Yeah.
And I have a survey on castleonms.com of what do you think I should talk about? You have any ideas?
Yeah. Wasn't prepared for this question. This is the type of question. It's like, you know, someone's like, oh, what's your favorite movie? And brain goes blank. Movie? What's a movie? I don't know what a movie is.
Off the top of your head. It could be anything. It doesn't matter.
Well, I haven't watched it yet, but like the first thing would be about the Montreal Expos, but you've already done that. So
yeah, I did a review of that, and the funny thing is, before that documentary, I followed the Expos when they ended in 2004, and when they relocated to Washington, and the first site I looked at, because I was trying to figure out what are they going to name the team, I went to dcbaseball.com, and I was like, I want to know what's going on. These relocations really, really intrigued me, but also saddened me. And I want to voice out my opinion of it. And sometimes I get it right. Sometimes I don't, but guess what? It's my voice. And I love the game so much. It's just my opinion. And I love the game so much that I don't want it. I don't want it to go the trail it's going. And that's the reason why I invited you. That's the reason why I emailed you, because I think we would hit it off on this conversation. And we did.
Yeah,
we did. We hit it off greatly.
There's many things that you said that I can 100% relate to.
Absolutely. And I really do appreciate your time. You've been absolutely wonderful. Please go check out the Miley Nerd on YouTube, podcasts everywhere, YouTube, everything. He's on X. I don't condone X, but he's on X heavily. Please check him out. Until then, this is Frankie Castle. I will be doing a season 2. Don't worry. I know it's not consistent, but check out my previous 12 episodes, including this one. Since you're watching, check out the previous 12, castleonms.com. Everything you need, Frankie. And this is Frankie signing off. Have a great day. Hey, one last thing before I let you guys go. If you're listening on the Stadium BS podcast, listening in, the minor league nerd Kelly wanted to address one thing in the interview, that a correction. And he said that the minor league and the major league unions are the same. It's all under the same agreement, the MLBPA. So he wanted to mention that, and that was about it. But it was a wonderful interview. I hope Kelly enjoyed it. From what he told me, he enjoyed it very much, and I'm glad. And I enjoyed his interview as well. That was amazing. It's good talking, you know, talking the same type of stuff that you're interested in. So I loved it. He loved it. And I hope you enjoy it as well. CastleOnMS.com, Molly Bees, you know what it is. And I appreciate your time. Love you all. God bless. And see you next year for season 2. Take care.
Thank you for watching on YouTube, and thank you for listening on your favorite podcast platform.